Welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Tuesday, January 9th, 2024. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me today. Hope you enjoyed that little funny intro there. That looks like loads of fun. And I want to thank you for some of the responses from yesterday's podcast. You know, I was talking about the Arctic blast scare of the weather model. And, you know, of course, I warned that this weather model, that I hope it wasn't true. And I even said during the podcast, I just don't believe this. I don't believe these temperatures. And I just want to thank the readers that responded and said, well, those aren't absolute temperatures in that map. Those are relative temperatures. So when I was talking about minus 24 in Texas, let's say, what they're saying is that it's 24 degrees below the average for this time of year in Texas. And in some areas, it's going to be like minus 57, or, you know, in Washington State, like minus 30 from the average. Okay, so, whew, boy, that's a relief. And I think those of you who suggested that, I think you're absolutely correct. Now that this is why I didn't believe that these numbers could be true. It was just too insane, too cold. Now, it's still going to be really, really cold in these areas. I just want to be clear, because to be, let's say, you know, 30 degrees below normal in Central Texas, or what is it, like minus 38 in parts of Missouri and minus 40 in Wyoming. Again, even 40 degrees lower than average is still really freaking cold for those areas. So I would say that number one, those of you who said that you got to be correct. And secondly, if the image had said that these are relative temperatures, well, then I would have known that. But there's nothing on the image that says relative temperatures. It's actually, there's a label up top that says 2 meter temperature anomaly. I'm like, yeah, this looks like a temperature anomaly. But of course, every time that I've looked at a weather map, the numbers mean absolute temperature, not relative temperature. So I'm glad it's relative temperature. That's got to be the case. But even then, it's going to get crazy cold in all these states that are going to be affected by this Arctic blast if this thing rolls through. So Texas, for example, back in February of 2021, it got down to 5 degrees, and it just froze out, shut down most of the power grid in Texas. And that's why we had rolling blackouts and we had a massive emergency and everything shut down. And now I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, well, minus 27. So I wonder what the average temperature is for Texas like next week. Normally, I would think the average temperature might be like 30. And we're talking Fahrenheit here. So minus 27 is going to put it at 3 degrees. That's colder than it was when we lost the power grid. So it's still going to get ugly. And again, in many areas, it's going to be like minus 40, minus 50 from where it was, you know, in terms of relative temperatures. So I think that with that understanding, this Arctic blast emergency has been uplifted to a survivable event, but still really freaking cold. And that's an upgrade from what I thought it might have been, which was a, you know, like, all the animals are gonna die event. You know, thank goodness that's not gonna happen. Always feel sorry for the dogs and the horses and cattle and all the wild animals out there suffering these temperatures. In any case, we are apparently now something like less than 10 days away from this thing, whatever the temperatures end up being. And I said this yesterday, I said, what, you know, whatever the temperatures are, we should use this as a reminder to be prepared for grid down situations and for grocery stores to be closed and for, you know, freak weather events and geoengineering and all these kinds of things. So whether it's, you know, 3 degrees or minus 30, in either case, we should always be prepared. So let's just use this event as that reminder. And of course, let's pray that it doesn't get that freaking cold all across the United States, you know, just for the sake of the animals, if nothing else. All right, now I have an interview coming up for you today with Doc Pete Chambers. He was in studio recently and we had a good talk about what's happening with the border and so much more. So that interview is coming up here shortly. Again, Pete Chambers, an incredible veteran and a great patriot, a great American. And I'm very happy that he's a fellow Texan. So that's coming up. You don't want to miss that. All right, continuing here. The funny thing is, as I was recording this, we had some crazy wind gusts in Central Texas. There was a big wind advisory going on that I didn't even know about. And it says that gusts up to 50 miles an hour were expected. I got to tell you, we had gusts beyond 50. I know this because I had to go chase down a bunch of stuff that blew away. And in doing so, I saw a bunch of large tree branches that had blown off and fallen. And I was like, maybe I should exit this area while the wind is blowing here. So, what kind of wind speed does it take to break branches of like oak trees, you know? Well, I guess it depends on the condition of the oak tree, but I saw some pretty big downed branches. So I guess I've got firewood for the coming Arctic blast, huh? Plenty of firewood. That's a nice thing about living out in the country in Texas. If you have enough space, firewood just falls on the ground. It's like, oh, there's this year's firewood. You know, you just have to cut it up without hurting yourself in the process. And if you hear the humming behind me, once again, that is, in fact, the AI large language model pilot machine. It's a server that I have in my office. And right now we're using it to run transcriptions. So it's humming away and actually transcribing videos at this very moment using a very large transcription model that's based on AI. And the transcription is crazy good. It's the best I've ever seen. So I'm actually going to use it, you know, to transcribe all my stuff from here forward. It's pretty fast too. I figured it can do 300 hours of video transcription per 24-hour period. So not bad, but then again, we have thousands upon thousands of hours of videos to transcribe from lots of different people as part of our language model data curation process. So you're going to hear this hum for quite a long while to come, but you're going to get the benefit of this because remember, this language model, we're going to release it open source. The target date is end of March. You'll be able to download it for free and use it locally on your own machine. And we are on track, actually. It's going to be a pretty good model end of March. And then we'll release additional versions probably every month. So we're going to have a lot of releases this year. And you'll be astonished to hear about the people who have agreed to submit to us all of their videos and content and articles and science papers and so on that's actually going into this model. It's kind of the who's who of thought leaders and a lot of people's names you would know. I'm not going to release it yet, but when we release the model, we will, of course, give credit to all those who have participated. So moving on, you probably know there was an explosion at a hotel in Fort Worth, Texas. 21 people were injured. This hotel is called the Sandman Signature Hotel. Sandman. Sleepy time. 21 people injured. Two floors of the building were blown out onto the street. I think we saw that in Die Hard, right? Did you watch Die Hard for Christmas? That's the only real Christmas movie, of course. There was also a giant building blowout in Terminator 2, I believe. So I wonder why we haven't seen any video of the explosion yet. Because there's been a lot of video after the explosion. But so far, no video released of the explosion. That seems kind of fishy to me. They're saying that it might be a gas leak explosion because after the explosion, they smelled gas. Well, yeah, of course you smell gas after the explosion because the explosion probably ripped apart gas lines. I mean, just because you smell gas after the explosion doesn't mean that the gas caused the explosion. I mean, you need gas and a spark. So where's the spark? I mean, actually, you need gas and oxygen and a spark, come to think of it. So where's the spark? 26 rooms were occupied at the time of the blast. quote, several people were extracted from the basement that were not able to get out on their own. Huh. Kind of wonder who are these people and who wanted them dead, right? Was there maybe a Bill Clinton witness staying there? long list of dead Bill Clinton witnesses. Okay, shifting gears here. Let's go to Germany, where the economy is, of course, collapsing for all the reasons we've talked about for the last almost 2 years, including the destruction of the Nord Stream pipelines. Story from RT, German farmers block roads nationwide. Protesters have rallied against austerity measures that Berlin introduced last month. Farmers all over Germany are rallying for a week of protests against government austerity measures, which they fear may leave the agricultural sector without support and force farms to shut down. They're protesting the cuts to diesel subsidies and tax breaks for agricultural vehicles. Chancellor Olaf Scholz has done this and is trying to plug a multi-billion euro budget deficit. Yeah, I wonder why they have a budget deficit. Farmers plan to stage blockades on motorways and travel in slow-moving convoys. And they've staged a mass protest in Berlin. Now, of course, we know that farms are under attack all across Europe. Now, this happened in the Netherlands last year, for example, and many other areas. We also know that diesel is critical for farmers. You have to have affordable diesel if you want to create, you know, affordable food. That's all there is to it. Diesel runs the tractors, the trucks, you know, the combines and transport, all kinds of things. So apparently in Germany, there were some pretty serious subsidies or maybe just a lack of taxes, like a tax break for agricultural diesel. Now, we have that in the United States as well. And in the U.S., that's called red dye diesel. And that's the diesel that I store. Of course, I don't use that when I'm driving my vehicles on the roads because, you know, you can get serious fines for doing that. But I do use red dye diesel in my tractors. And also, if I'm burning diesel to heat a building, like I was talking about yesterday, you can get a kerosene forced air heater that also runs on diesel. Of course, I'm going to be burning red dye diesel for that. Why should I pay federal taxes on the diesel that I'm running in my tractor, right? Or using to heat a barn or something. I use red dye diesel for that. Well, red dye diesel, I don't know the exact difference in the amount, but it's significantly cheaper. Like right now, I think you can get red dye diesel for somewhere around maybe $2.50 a gallon, maybe $2.70, something in that range. It's well under $3 right now, whereas diesel at the pump, you're going to pay, you know, a lot more than $3. So if farmers lose this sort of lower taxed diesel, then they can't compete. And this is what Germany's farmers are protesting against. Quote, we demand the complete reversal of these tax increases without any ifs and buts. I expect that tens of thousands of tractors will come to our rallies all over Germany. That's a protester that told Bild, the German news outlet. So, of course, the German government is, you know, going full tyranny on this. The interior minister of North Rhine said that anyone who oversteps must face consequences, right? Said like a true German tyrant, you know, like anyone who oversteps must face consequences. Okay. Totally uncalled for, but you get the idea. This is starting to feel like the Canadian government that declared war against its own truckers. Right. And this is, you know, I did a podcast last week. I think it was. I said, look, the governments of the world are declaring war against their own citizens. This is just another example of that in Germany. And, you know, Germany, of all the European countries, Germany is the most virtue signaling, libtard led nation in all of Europe. I mean, and I'm not talking about the German people. The German people just want to be left alone. There's like people everywhere. The German people want to work and keep their money and, you know, have an honest system. The German people are hardworking, high IQ people. But the German government is a virtue signaling woketard nightmare. And they shut down the fossil fuel infrastructure for the most part. I mean, they really constricted it because they wanted to appease little Miss Greta Thunderpants, the climate change girl, who demanded, "You've stolen my future. You've stolen it." And in order to make sure that she didn't shed little unicorn tears, we had to shut down fossil fuels for all of industry in Germany. In essence, I mean, that's an oversimplification, but you get the idea. That is what has led us to this point today where the German farmers are like, how are we supposed to grow food without affordable diesel? You know, it would be interesting. I mean, I'm not seriously suggesting this, but it would be interesting if the German farmers just said to all the city people in places like Berlin, it was like, why don't you just starve for 30 days? Let's just not deliver any food to any German cities and see how that goes. Just have like a farmer blockade. Because believe me, it wouldn't take long before the people all over German cities would be begging farmers, please deliver food, whatever you want. We'll give you diesel, you know, anything. I feel sorry for the German farmers in this case, because German farmers are like farmers everywhere. I have a lot of respect for farmers. My grandfather was a farmer. And as a young teenager, you know, I was driving his tractors around. He was teaching me how to farm, how to rake a field, you know, how to cut a field for hay and then rake it and then bale it, and how to run fertilizers and so on. I was doing that before I ever drove a car, you know, so I know what it's like firsthand to do farming. It's not easy. There's no mercy. And the people who benefit from the food always take it for granted. They never realize how much effort goes into growing this food and just keeping your tractor running, for one thing, getting it unstuck out of the mud that you got it in. So get ready. Get ready for more famine, engineered famine across Western Europe. It's all part of the globalist war against humanity, the war on farms, the war on food, the war on anybody who produces anything is essentially where we are at this point. Yeah, very disturbing. And now, continuing with the theme of the governments waging war against their own people, here we have a story out of Ukraine. Ukraine threatens to freeze draft dodgers' bank accounts. Wait a second. So, the parliament is preparing amendments to the mobilization law, and Zelensky said that he needs 500,000 more troops. You know, to make up for the 500,000 that have already died, that were already thrown at the Russian war machine to try to weaken Russia because America is sacrificing young Ukrainian men for this senseless, needless war. And Zelensky said, well, you know, we ran out of the first 500,000. We need 500,000 more. And so now they're going to lower the age of conscription from, or at least this is what the government wants to do, from 27 to 25, and they're going to eliminate exemptions for disabilities. Yeah, what? I mean, I am not making fun of disabled people in what I'm about to say, so don't take this the wrong way. I do not. I would never make fun of disabled people. But are they going to roll out wheelchair soldiers to the front lines of Ukraine? What? I mean, again, I'm not mocking disabled people in any sense whatsoever. I'm very serious when I ask, are they going to have like one-armed soldiers out there? Because that's all that's left? I mean, again, you know, for God's sake, we always have to protect disabled people in our society, especially disabled veterans, by the way. You don't make disabled people go fight wars, missing an arm, missing a leg, missing an eye. You know, I mean, you need able-bodied people, obviously, to fight in a war, but Ukraine has run out of able-bodied people. So they're going to have disabled people and women. Proposals have been floated to draft women. Are you kidding me? I mean, I guess that's equal rights, you know, for the feminists out there. But are you kidding me? So wait a second. You're going to have pregnant women on the front lines and like disabled people in wheelchairs running the mortar teams. What? Your mortar fire director is, I mean, this is, I can't properly put words to this. Anybody who dodges the draft is also going to lose their banking services. Okay. So I guess they're going to seize your bank account at this point. Now, folks, if you've ever wondered, you know, why you need to look into things like gold and silver and private crypto and off-grid sources of assets, you know, even gold backs. I mean, here we go. They're gonna freeze the bank accounts and no doubt seize the bank accounts of people that refuse to show up to be drafted. What the heck? Zelensky's really getting desperate. All right, some other details. The Russian Defense Ministry has estimated that Zelensky has so far lost 383,000 soldiers, killed or wounded or missing. Yuri Lutsenko, the prosecutor general, says that could be as high as 500,000. And then General Zaluzhny in Ukraine, the commander in chief of all the Ukrainian armed forces, he said that everyone who is mobilized will get 80 days of training, but he says unless he gets more troops, there will be no one to defend the state. 80 days of training? I don't think so. I think they're going to give him more like 8 days of training and then, you know, roll them to the front lines in their wheelchairs. And, you know, this is just beyond imagination that it's come to this. Why doesn't Zelensky negotiate peace? You know, some kind of end to the fighting. And well, you know the answer, because the U.S. is pressuring him and the U.S. has all kinds of blackmail on Zelensky. You know, no doubt Epstein files or something similar, because Zelensky, I mean, cocaine and gay hookups and hookers and who knows what else. I mean, come on. They've got him blackmailed 6 ways to Sunday, as Schumer once said when threatening Trump. So Zelensky, you know, this is what's interesting. Zelensky and Netanyahu are in the same situation where they want to save themselves, even if they're destroying their own countries and their own countrymen in the process. Like Netanyahu, for example, in Israel, he wants to stay out of jail and he needs to stay in power. And in order to do that, he needs to throw a bunch of IDF soldiers at Hamas and Hezbollah and keep Israel in a state of war. And that's how Netanyahu stays in power and saves his own butt. Same thing with Zelensky. Needs to keep the war going so he stays in power. And maybe he has a way to save himself. Maybe he can get on the last plane out before Kiev is overrun or whatever happens next. But in the process of that, all kinds of innocent people are dying. And now they're just going to halt or seize all the bank accounts of people who don't show up to fight. Well, you know what that means? That a lot of people are going to say, well, I either lose my bank account or I lose my life. I guess I'll just lose my bank account. It's like, take the bank account. At least I'm not dying on the front lines. If I were in Ukraine, that would be my decision. You know, take the bank account. I'm not going to go to the front lines and get thrown in a suicide mission at some, you know, well-defended Russian hilltop position and just get blown up with Russian drones or artillery or what have you. That's a suicide mission. But you see how bank accounts are being weaponized against the people yet again? One more reason to have your assets out of the banking system. Because this could be used against us. I mean, think about it. There could be a draft in the United States before very long. We could be in a new world war in the Middle East next week, even, you know, potentially. Somebody starts lobbing nuclear weapons and then Iran gets involved and Russia gets involved and U.S. Navy starts firing nukes. And all of a sudden, you know, a week later, it's a declaration of war and everybody has to sign up for the draft. Like, whoa, you know, you wake up one morning, you're like, what? we're now in a war and we all got to sign up to go fight overseas somewhere. Yeah, welcome. And if you don't, we'll just take your bank account. Well, I'll be flipping the big one to Uncle Sam on that one, because I got gold and silver, goldbacks, ammo, diesel fuel, land, you know, garden seeds. Yeah. Okay, you can have the bank account. Dollars are going to get worthless anyway. Oh, and I have private crypto, you know. I'll just do deals in crypto and freaking junk silver and goldbacks. How about that? I'm not going to go fight your stupid war and die for a bunch of silly ass tyrants who don't even know what they're doing. Can you imagine the outcry in America if they start drafting disabled people? Seriously. Like, they start rolling through, I don't know, the hospitals or something, and just drafting people and sending them over to Israel to die for Israel, you know? That's not going to fly. I mean, why would any informed American at this point fight for this corrupt regime in power that didn't even win the election? They rigged the election. They stole everything. They're printing money. They're looting the country. Why would you fight for them? I mean, you wouldn't. No reasonable, informed person would agree to go fight for this corrupt regime. Now, would I fight to defend America, the real America? Well, yeah. I mean, I love America. I love Texas. I love America. I love the Constitution. I love our constitutional republic. I would absolutely fight to defend those things, but that's not what our government stands for. If you fight for the U.S. government right now, you're fighting for Raytheon and Boeing and Lockheed Martin and money printing and the central banks and J.P. Morgan. That's all you're fighting for. You're just throwing your life away to make a bunch of rich fat cats even more rich so they can go visit the prostitution rings in D.C. and dress up in bunny bondage costumes, as we recently found out, and get slapped around spending your money or taxpayer money frolicking with, you know, hookers or whatever they're doing while you're off over the Middle East dying for Israel. How many people are going to go along with that? Not very many. By the way, if you don't yet know the story on goldbacks, check out my website, verifiedgoldbacks.com. That's an affiliate site for goldbacks, where I did all the lab testing about the actual gold content. It shows you our mass spec testing, where we determine the purity of the gold and the actual gravimetric, you know, the quantity of gold. Recoveries of over 100%. And I'm really loving goldbacks in terms of their divisibility and utility. And that website, verifiedgoldbacks.com, if you purchase through there, we do earn a small percentage at no cost to you. And that helps support our platforms while you get physical goldbacks, which are pretty awesome. People love how they look and how you can use them. And the, you know, again, the divisibility, you can have 1/1000th of an ounce of gold in a kind of a bill format in your hand, and the gold is actually in it. So it's something different to consider for your, you know, your emergency preparedness plans. I carry goldbacks with me in the car now because I'm always running into people that I want to give them to. I'm just handing out goldbacks all over the place, and everybody loves them. Like, no one said, no, I don't want your gold. Give me dollars. No one has said that. They're all like, this is real gold? Yep. You're kidding me. Nope. There's really gold in here. Yep. That's awesome. You know, that's, everybody loves it. By the way, if the draft situation gets any worse in Ukraine, Zelensky is going to announce a new law drafting the dead. He will order his government scientists to reanimate the corpses of dead soldiers. It's like, by law, I decree they shall be reanimated and sent back to the front lines to be killed again. I mean, that's how twisted it is. It's like Zelensky's living in an artificial fairy tale, delusional la-la land at this point. He's lost all ties with reality. So bottom line, folks, my prediction for 2024 is that this is the year that Ukraine essentially surrenders. I mean, there's going to be some kind of a peace agreement. Maybe it's not called a surrender. It might be called a peace accord. It'll be some kind of final, you know, document. And Russia will get Odessa along with much of Ukraine's southern coastline. if not all of it. That's where this is headed. Ukraine, its ability to continue to fight is just about reach zero. It's very close to zero. And there's no way they're going to draft 500,000 more people. That's just, and women and disabled people as well. It's just, it's reached a point where even probably Ukraine's military commanders are just going to probably put a bullet in Zelensky's skull and end this, which would be, frankly, the humane thing to do at this point, just to save the lives of all the other Ukrainians. You know, pop a bullet in Zelensky's head and then sit down with the Russians and negotiate peace and let's stop all the bloodshed. I would much rather only one person die rather than another 500,000, for God's sake. So we'll see where that goes. Also, unrelated, did you see that the Wall Street Journal did a big hit piece on Elon Musk? I said, well, Elon Musk has used drugs. He used certain drugs. He used ketamine for depression, for example. And he smoked pot one time with Joe Rogan. That he used LSD. He used psychedelic mushrooms at private parties. Does anybody care? Does anybody care? If Elon Musk did some psilocybin at a party somewhere, who freaking cares? Or if he did LSD, personally, I mean, this is just so desperate. You notice the Wall Street Journal won't do stories on all the Alzheimer's drugs that U.S. senators are taking. How about that? Or what about the drug abuse of Hunter Biden? They don't do a story on that. What about the mass medication of Joe Biden just to get him to be able to speak or to even navigate the teleprompter for 30 minutes? They probably have to have him on some kind of amphetamines in order to do that, you know? Probably got him doped up on meth for that hour, and then, you know, later on he crashes and babbles for the rest of the day. I mean, that's probably what they have. No story on that. But the real picture here is that Elon Musk is being attacked because he is reinstating people on X. Basically, Elon Musk is being punished because he brought back Alex Jones. That's what this is all about. If you don't go along with the narrative control system, then they start attacking you. And they start getting people to lie or to even maybe tell the truth, but in really embarrassing ways. Like, oh my God, he used magic mushrooms. Oh my God. Like, it's the worst thing that's ever happened. You know, meanwhile, again, DC bureaucrats and big pharma executives are banging Chinese hookers in honeypot sex traps. But no, Elon Musk is the bad guy because he smoked a joint and he did some LSD in his own private time, off the clock, in a private party somewhere. Who cares? Who cares? I don't care one bit. I mean, what's next? This is kind of smacks of the same kind of, you know, dossier attack on Trump that we saw during the Trump administration, where Hillary Clinton and John McCain and all these neocons, they all got together and hired these offshore people to make up a bunch of false garbage about Donald Trump. You know, of course, the FBI was involved and so on. They're going to do this to Elon Musk. And what's next? So we're going to have a report comes out. Oh, according to, you know, former top executives, Elon Musk farts in business meetings. Oh yeah. You know, three witnesses corroborated the farting wave. It's apparently so bad they call it flatulence autopilot. Yeah, they have to have special ventilation for the meeting room. I mean, this is the kind of thing that the Wall Street Journal will no doubt be reporting soon. Elon Musk and his flatulence addiction. So Elon Musk replied to the Wall Street Journal. He said, quote, after that one puff with Joe Rogan, I agreed at NASA's request to do 3 years of random drug testing. Not even trace quantities were found of any drugs or alcohol. The Wall Street Journal is not fit to line a parrot cage for bird crap. Which is very much true, actually. Elon Musk nails it. Now, is it really so surprising that a billionaire did some drugs at some point? And isn't marijuana legal in half the states right now across the U.S.? And aren't magic mushrooms even legal in many states? I think California, Oregon, maybe Colorado. I'm not sure. I mean, check your local laws before you acquire psilocybin. But should we be surprised that a billionaire did drugs with somebody in some private party? No, not a surprise. It just shows you they don't have anything else to attack him on. So they're going after drug use. You know, if they ever try to do a hit piece on me for using drugs and they ask like everybody that I've ever been hanging out with or at a social engagement, every single one of them will say, yeah, Mike is the guy that actually never did any drugs ever. And he refused because I can tell you, in all honesty, I have never done a single recreational drug with any person ever in my life. Because that's just not my thing. And I was even teased about that. However, when I was in Peru, when I was hiking the Andes Mountains at 14,000 feet elevation there was a pass called Dead Woman's Pass. Guess how it got its name? Because women die up there from, exhaustion and lack of oxygen. And so when I'm hiking up this thing and I'm like, oh, I can't breathe, and they're like, here, have some coca tea. I'm like, oh, please God, yes. So did I drink coca tea in Peru while hiking the Andes Mountains? Heck yes, I did. Because, you probably die without it. But coca tea is just, it's a natural herbal tea, and they serve it in all the hotels in Peru, and you just buy it at the grocery store. Because it's not an extract, it's not a concentrate, it's just tea. It's just tea, but it helps you. It gives you energy to get up through Dead Woman's Pass. Just like maca. I've consumed quite a bit of maca in my days, and I do freeze-dried coffee sometimes with caffeine in it, in my smoothie. So I've done those things, but I've never done drugs with Elon Musk or with anybody. So there you go. Not even in college. Nope. All right. And one more news item tonight here from Common Dreams. CNN admits that all Gaza coverage is run past a team under Israeli military censor. Mm-hmm. So CNN isn't reporting news. They're reporting propaganda. It's all controlled by Israel. And they've admitted to this. Spokesperson for CNN confirmed to The Intercept that its news coverage about Israel and Palestine is run through and reviewed by the CNN Jerusalem Bureau, which is subject to IDF censorship. The IDF restricts foreign news outlets from reporting on certain subjects of its choosing and outright censors articles or news segments if they don't meet its guidelines. So there you go. And this policy has been in place for years. Quote, the policy of running stories about Israel or the Palestinians past the Jerusalem Bureau has been in place for years, the spokesperson told The Intercept. It is simply down to the fact that there are many unique and complex local nuances, such as, 50 IDF soldiers got blown up today, and we don't want to tell the truth about that. That warrant extra scrutiny to make sure our reporting is as precise and accurate as possible. And that is laughable coming out of Israel. If you think Israel wants to be precise and accurate, then you must also think that COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. You got to be an idiot to believe either one of those things. All Israel knows how to do is lie. And that's, I don't think they're even capable of telling the truth about anything related to war. And then, by the way, kind of related to this, their secret tunnels have been discovered underneath Jewish synagogues in New York City. And this is a breaking in the news cycle. And there's a tweet from Sam Parker in the Senate. I don't know if that's the New York Senate. He says the synagogue with the tunnels and dirty mattress hidden in the wall was headed by Mendel Schneerson, the rabbi who blessed Netanyahu back in the 1990s and who asked him to hasten the process for the Messiah to arrive faster. And there's secret tunnels. And there's video. You can see all this on informationliberation.com, by the way. Tunnel found burrowed under women's section of 770. But there's video of rabbis going in and out of these secret tunnels. Like, what? Secret tunnels underneath a synagogue in New York City? Does that mean, this is starting to sound like Hamas, right? But Hamas has tunnels. We're always told that tunnels are bad And we're always told that if you want to get somebody in the tunnels, according to Israel, you're allowed to bomb the entire city. I wonder if Netanyahu thinks that same rule applies to New York City. Probably not, because that would be crazy. But then again, they're doing it in Gaza. Folks, we're living in a weird, wild world. Have no illusions. Everything that you think you know about reality is going to get ripped apart. Money, politics, elections. Oh, man. The nature of reality. It's all up for grabs right now. And who knows where it ends. I am just thankful to be here. Thankful to be alive and be functioning and working on projects for humanity here and able to communicate with you every day on these issues that matter and help you get prepared for what's coming, whether it's a, you know, Arctic blast or, you know, grid down attack, cyber attack, false flag, EMP, nuclear war, nuclear terrorism, who knows? Or maybe they're going to draft half the people in the U.S. to try to fight more wars as another step towards depopulation. Who knows what they're going to do? But none of it is going to respect your civil rights or human rights. That's for sure. So thank you for your support and enjoy the upcoming interview with Pete Chambers here. If you want to support us, visit healthrangerstore.com for all of our laboratory tested, certified organic products, foods, storable foods, superfoods, freeze dried number 10 cans of fruits and vegetables, ultra premium products, nutritional supplements, personal care products, my line of knives, co-designed with Dawson Knives, including my Escape from LA knife that people really love. It's a very effective knife, that's for sure. Corrosion resistant, almost corrosion proof because of the special alloy called Magna Cut. But check them all out at healthrangerstore.com, and thank you for your support. Enjoy the interview straight ahead, and I'll be back with you tomorrow. Take care. Welcome to today's interview here on Brighteon.com. Mike Adams here in the Brighteon studios. We're joined today by retired Colonel Pete Chambers. Welcome, sir. It's always great to have you back.
Always good to be back. See you and your canine.
I have to tell the audience, I would not have my dog if it wasn't for you and meeting you and your dog.
That's right. We met over at Alex's place.
Yes.
And Joe came on. He's been on there twice now, so I'm excited about that. But yeah, that was, I could tell in your face. I was like, okay, first of all, he's a dog guy. Second of all, he respects these machines because he's a machine.
Oh,
yours
yeah.
is a machine. I mean, that's what they are.
We just got to play a little bit outside and I have learned so much. I learned from having my dog as much as he learns from me.
You know, I in a spiritual sense for me, I look at him when he's looking at me like he's just waiting for that command.
Yeah.
And he just needs that positive affirmation. It's like, couldn't we think that way about the master, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So I learned from him a lot of messages.
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, I guess about dedication and persistence too, because this guy doesn't give up.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. No, Joe's the same, you know, so he's my guy is the same.
Well, my dog has the notable history of being the only dog to have scratched Alex Jones's desk.
Oh.
There are scratch marks on his broadcast desk because of...
Well, he tried to get my dog on there. I said, no, I don't train him to do that. So he didn't. But yeah, I could, because I remember he had papers all over his desk.
Yeah.
Are you sure you want me to put my dog up here? But he didn't.
Uh-oh. So
yours no, got the...
He knows we're talking about.
He knows. They're, intuitive.
This guy, can you show a wide view so audience can see? No, sit. Don't come up here. Sit. But he knows when I finish an interview. See, there he is. He's waiting to come up. Yeah. He knows when I finish an interview. Yeah. And he gets up by hearing just my words.
Mm-hmm.
He knows when I'm saying thank you
Your
for watching today.
Your tone has changed.
And he gets up and comes around every time.
They're waiting for that because they're looking for work. That's their motto. Look for work.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, again, thank you. Meeting you actually changed my life in many ways.
I'm glad.
Yeah. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about what's happening in the world. I know you're aware of the border situation. I mean, you follow that quite closely.
Right.
Want to give us an update?
Sure. So, I work in a think tank, but we're a think tank that actually does action stuff. You know, most of those are white paper people. They write things and we actually get on the ground and we go forward and we look at the problem sets and then we try to come up with solutions. So in this case, the alligator closest to our canoe, I call it, is that border. you know, because I don't live that many hours from the border, and I worked down there when I was in the National Guard, so I kind of knew it like the back of my hand. But having that, and then having met the local players, and you know, say the stakeholders, the people that live there, the law enforcement, the federal side as well, you know all the players, and you see, and then former Green Beret, you know, 20-something years of doing that. You know how to identify seams and gaps in chaotic environments.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and that's chaos. It is complete chaos down there. Some days, one point might have 1,000 people come across in 12 hours, and then it'll be a whack-a-mole because they'll move a bunch of troops there, and then they just go somewhere else.
Right.
1,250 miles of border.
We've heard they're being texted GPS coordinates now.
Absolutely.
Real-time passageways.
And that is a concern, and I spoke to... the Eagle Pass Border Patrol guys that off the record because they won't talk on the record.
Yeah.
And they'll get squashed. And they said that came from command directly to a guy in the field. Absolutely. Because you got to realize that was Eagle Pass. That was Eagle Pass, the point of entry under the bridge. And we had double stacked some connexes there. The state of Texas did, the National Guard. So they double stacked them and then they put triple strand concertina wire along the front edge of it. Well, if they know that this GPS coordinate is going to link me up at a time and place, time on target, for a seam or gap, and there will be a forklift come in and lift it up, there's some preparation and planning that has to take place for that to happen. Previous times they had gone in there and cut it with wire cutters, but I think that they just went ahead and just lifted it up.
So why isn't Governor Abbott...
Right.
I mean, I think many of us who live in Texas, we're at the point where we're urging the governor to just arrest, you know, federal agents that are cutting the wire. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, truly, the state of Texas, I call it the Republic of Texas, in the Constitution allows for a sheriff to arrest somebody doing that.
Yeah.
Here's the caveat to that, is that the federal government, the Border Patrol, owns a certain, I think it's 300 yards in, I'm not sure the amount in from the river. So just like the Corps of Engineers might own land around a lake or something like that, or a body of water, they own that. That's their jurisdiction.
How do they own that if
exactly.
It's the state of Texas?
Exactly. I don't know if you saw recently Fronton, there's a little island down there that's
yes.
right in the Rio Grande. I believe it was Jason Jones, Newsmax, he had put that out, right? He was there on the site.
Yeah.
Good friend of mine, great guy. And Mexico said it was theirs and the U.S. said it's theirs. Well, Texas just went in and this is one good thing that Texas did and said, we're going to check the maps and we're going to look at it and it's ours. So our Texas Rangers in combination with, they are part of DPS, Department of Public Safety, went in there and cleared that out and then brush cut that and then, you know, burned it so that they couldn't go back and use that as a hiding spot.
Yeah. We interviewed one of the guys on.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Here. Good. Yeah.
So you're fully aware of that. So that's a win.
Yeah.
With Governor Abbott, you know, we have had to reveal things in order to kind of make a circumstance somewhat embarrassing in order to get some action.
I see.
Example, north of Houston, Liberty County, the Colonia. Michael Yons talked about it. That actually was stemmed from Todd Bensman, Center for Immigration Studies, wrote an article about a murder that had taken place in there, in this colony. At that time, there were 20,000 illegal immigrants living in there.
Wow.
Okay, well, it can carry, you know, we based the estimate on looking at the land and the pattern of the land. We flew over it, and it's about 40 square miles. That will house 200,000 people when it's filled. That will be the 18th largest city in the state of Texas, about the size of Amarillo, Brownsville.
Wow.
So... And that will be a trailer park with no services, really. There's no sewer. There's no anything. It will just be up to the Liberty County Commission to develop the services. Well, I say, how many of those guys in that county commission have businesses that provide services?
Right.
I'm always looking at that now, and I have to. But that was embarrassing because the guy that was developing it had given certain campaign funds to Governor Abbott.
Abbott, right.
It's embarrassing. Now... Thank goodness Attorney General Paxton was exonerated.
Yes.
And so he's back out there and he's swinging and he's going to shut it down. We'll see.
Well, you know, thank God that Paxton was able to expose all the lies that were used by you know, certain operators that we know about that right. try to get Paxton out of the way.
Right.
I see Paxton as someone that's really fighting for Texans. And I think Paxton would make a great AG at the federal level.
Oh.
When Trump wins the next election, I hope Paxton is the attorney general.
Make Paxton attorney general, make me the border czar.
That sounds
we'll
good to me.
Shut that thing down.
Absolutely. Make yeah. Michael Yon the intelligence Yon, deputy right. officer.
Well, and it truly was Michael Yon and Ann Vandersteel's Burning Edge that really got in there and got on top of
That's
it.
Right. Burning
you know?
Edge.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because then, you know, I just rode along and made sure that everything was safe. But they truly did some amazing work. But that led to other things.
Yeah. 'Cause
when you start going down rabbit trails and following money, we started finding kids that were held up in Austin. You know, we're talking about apartment complex. 109 kids that were unaccompanied minors from the border.
Yeah.
From Central America. Boys, teenagers. Apartment complex, one apartment complex in Austin, and they were DHS released them to five sponsor families, five for 109 kids.
This is what the Muckraker guys have been covering.
Bingo.
The actual right. government-sponsored trafficking.
Right. So well, I got
right
to see it from the other side, you know, being
right.
the guy on the ground. That's what I do. I find things on the ground. And so with that, and Muckraker does too, by the way, you've heard their story.
Yeah.
But from that, we went down in there, and so they're using these kids in this gang, and if you're driving around downtown Austin, you see a sign, a tag on the wall says Los Cholos, that's them.
Los Cholos.
Which means the gang of boys.
No right? kidding, yeah.
No kidding.
Wow.
So this is the problem. So we give that information to, you know, local law enforcement down there. It's up to them now to do something with it because we don't have the authorities to do that.
Right.
But that's the fight we're in.
It seems like... We need to see Trump back in office for anything good to happen about the border. Now, Biden, even the Democrats are done with Biden at this mm-hmm. point. But some of that's because a lot of the Democrats are more pro-Palestine and
yes.
a lot of the immigrants are Muslims.
Yes.
And so there's this civil war inside the Democrat Party right now over Israel versus Gaza.
And we do have a civil war on the conservative side, be it Zionist or not Zionist.
Exactly.
And this is, you know what, I got it. You know, this is, it's sensitive. You know, the Bible says, you know, Israel, chosen people, I got it. But nobody is allowed atrocities either side.
I agree, completely agree.
Either side.
You can't bomb a hospital full of women and children and say we think there's a target underneath it.
Right.
I mean, if you try to do that on deployment, you'd be court-martialed.
So when I called in as a commander for an airstrike, I had to confirm positive identification,
right.
number one, and then also what other effects would it have within the second and third order effects of that kill zone.
That's right.
Right. And then I had to make sure, but then I had to also send up my initials, Papa Charlie, to that flyer, to that fast mover or that B-52 way up high to make sure that they knew who it was that called it on the ground.
Uh-huh.
The potential for war crimes is great
uh-huh.
when those things take place.
But you had accountability in that
Absolutely.
Chain of command.
Absolutely.
And you were
yeah.
scrutinized, right? I mean, you had after action reports, you had to... Justify
yes.
your action.
Oh, absolutely. After action, and sometimes a 15-6 investigation takes place where there was a question, okay, let's see, and either exonerated or you're not.
Yeah.
I never had that. But those are the things that go through your head. I've seen people not call in strikes and go ahead and fight it out on the ground because it was just too close.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, they're, you're in a city. I mean, most of it's urban warfare in Iraq, it was for sure, places like Fallujah and other Ramadi. But when you get out in the hinterlands of Afghanistan, it's easy to make that positive ID and clear the corners, you know, so to speak, that
right.
you're not taking out unnecessary, you know, civilian casualties.
See, I'm really glad that people like you are working for America right now. And I want to talk about your community organizing efforts because you know what war looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know how ugly and dangerous it is.
Right.
And how important it is to de-escalate and avoid kinetic conflict wherever possible. But you also know the consequences of getting overrun by dictators or tyrants or just evil.
This is what Green Berets do. We have a set of missions that we're very good at. All Green Berets understand direct action, and that's just kicking the door down. That's you have to know that.
Yeah.
But the subset of that we truly are the subject matter experts of is unconventional warfare and foreign internal defense. So it depends on who the bad actor state is or bad actor group that you're going against. You might be assisting a friendly nation, foreign internal defense, or you might be assisting early on Taliban that were good guys, the Northern Alliance, and then trying to overthrow the bad Taliban. And at that point, it's unconventional warfare. Either way, you're going into a place in a different language, convincing them to fight for you, America, for the good of the oppressed. The motto, De Oppresso Liber, for the Green Berets, to free the oppressed. So it's much more than that on the geopolitical level, but on the ground, 12 guys going to middle of nowhere and convince them that these people are bad and we're going to organize you so that you can affect change in a positive manner.
Right.
Now, when you're doing that domestically, I just go ahead and say, I'm a community organizer, so therefore I should fit in the same category as Obama at this point, right? So you just leave me alone and I can do what I gotta do.
That's true.
I have to be very careful because with the background that I have and my guys, Green Berets, SEALs, you know, and other law enforcement, all retired, if somebody wanted to, they could make it look like, oh, you're trying to create a militia, which I don't see a problem with it. It is in the Constitution. However, we're not doing that. We're organizing communities that they could take care of themselves from any sort of sleeper cell, cartels that come across the border. I mean, these are real things.
Including natural disasters.
Natural disasters is truly, I was at Katrina, I was at Rita, Harvey, all these things. Those things are chaos, right?
Yes.
And we learn how to control chaos, and we don't control it. We know how to learn how to control our controllables in that. And that is where all those years prepared me for this Esther moment such as this,
yeah,
to be in these seams and gaps so that we can help our folks.
Well, let me mention a couple of vectors that I think justify what you're talking about, why local organizing is really critical for self-reliant communities. But we had NERC, NERC, mm-hmm. North American Electric Reliability Council, right, talking about how we're going to have power grid outages probably this winter during severe cold spells. So when grids go down, bad things happen anywhere in the world. And in America, we don't have the most polite society like, Japan or,
we don't,
let's say, or South Korea even. No. I mean, our society, when the grid goes down, looters come out, carjackings.
Katrina.
Exactly.
I mean, I was there in New Orleans and in Biloxi, and I saw two different communities respond two different ways.
Right? Perfect example.
I mean, you got the country folk out there helping each other out. You go downtown New Orleans and it's a free-for-all. Cops are stealing TV sets, right?
Oh, my.
Yes.
And then the National Guard was trying to gun confiscate from the citizens, right, in the city.
All at the same time.
Right. And then on top of that, we now have, because of the actions in the Middle East, mm-hmm, we have a lot of Arabic immigrants or Muslim immigrants, right, some Persian immigrants, certainly some Palestinian immigrants. And I want to say for the record, most people in most places all over the world are peaceful people. They, mm-hmm, just want to live in peace, grow food, raise kids, be left alone.
Right.
But when you have heightened emotions and you have bombings and things happening, you're going to reach a tipping point in the minds of certain typically young males,
right,
who might be easily recruited into extremist type of activities in the United States. You agree with that assessment?
If I were to go after a group of people, I would go after what would be called the disenfranchised. And this is a term we use quite a bit when we're looking at a country being overthrown, is who's preying upon those disenfranchised people.
Ah.
If I'm going to create something, if we think Cloward-Piven doctrine, and we start bringing in a transfer migration, or as Michael calls it, Michael Young calls it, the human osmotic pressure,
right,
this overwhelms the system. Power grid goes down, how do you get trucks to the store?
How do you pump gas at the gas station?
Gas. So that all has a second and third order effect that really could turn into a disaster, because then people that are on the fence, they don't have to be a jihadist and they don't have to be a white supremacist, but they could be somebody that's just like, okay, I'm a little bit hungry right now,
uh-huh,
and I'm going to go loot my neighbor's house and take their food.
Right.
People will do exigent things in exigent times.
Well, and especially with food inflation worsening dramatically, the value of the dollar plummeting.
Yes, right.
And now we're talking about the rise of AI systems replacing a lot of workers, yeah, yeah, including laborers, by the way. We're going to see hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of warehouse workers, fast food workers, and so on,
right,
displaced by humanoid robots over the next few years. And what this means is you're going to have you know, millions more Americans who have no option to earn money and be self-reliant, they're going to become more desperate.
And when you put more people on the government, call it free cheese program, for lack of a better term, that's that Clower-Piven doctrine that really went awry. You know, these social programs, there is a need for those things. People that really need that, but it's overwhelming right now. And the answer is not printing the money to continue the program, right? The answer is not legal
According
plunder.
According to Yellen, it is.
The answer is not legal plunder, as Bastiat, you know, the French Revolution talks about. These people that are up there on the hill making our decisions legally plunder our citizens.
Yes.
You know, give me a flat tax and get rid of the loopholes and include corporations. We're done with that. Get rid of the lobbyists, okay, and then add some term limits, and I think we'll fix the problem.
good point. Term limits would go a long way right there.
Right.
Wouldn't have any more Mitch McConnells hanging around for
Nancy
careers.
Nancy Pelosi's, Mitch McConnell's,
Yeah, Pelosi's as well. Yeah. Jeez. Okay, now, while we're talking here, give people like your website or channels or how they can follow your work and efforts.
Yeah, just one, really. I keep it simple. DrPeteChambers.com, DrPeteChambers with an S, .com. And that is, there's a place there you can go and see what's called the Lines of Effort. And that Lines of Effort page is made so that I can have a place where the things that I'm working on, you can go look at it and see. Because I've worked on everything from the whistleblowing with the mandates in the military to 5G issues to updating on the current vax injuries, things like that. But I also work on the border stuff. So it's a humanitarian effort. That's what my company is, the Remnant A Team.
Here's your mission statement. We're just bringing up the website. You can see it up there.
Right. And the call to action and the mission statement, and it's all there in a lot of words. There's the A Team symbol with my horse Bandit on the right and Joe on the left.
Love Joe. He's hanging out in your truck
right now.
He's out there in the parking lot.
He's out there right now. And Joe and I and Bandit started out with just a three-man team on the border. And that was just helping out friends that I had met down there. And then we were blessed. The America Project came out and supported us at at an event, raised some money. We got seed money. And now we're looking at actual contracts that we can actually do things. We're waiting for legislation to be deputized, though.
You know what this reminds me? I have a knife for you. I was just looking at your knife. Hold on. Okay. I'm going to get you a knife because, you know, I work with Dawson Knives and came out with a line of custom knives.
I saw those. Yeah.
And they're made of the MagnaCut alloy, which is really corrosion proof.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Or resistant. Well,
that would come in handy.
Oh, actually, this might be. This is it.
That's a Tanto style. Yeah. That is Tanto style model.
Wait, do you prefer the Tanto style? You can choose. Let me grab the other one that you can
choose. There's a Kydex on here, too. Yep. Oh, yeah, I like this this handle. I got to show you my Green Bray knife. It's very much similar.
First of all, there's the tomahawk.
Oh, man, look at this.
We don't have that in production yet, but if you want that, sir, it is yours.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
I'd rather do this.
Go for it.
Yeah, because I got plenty of knives.
Okay.
I love
Take
them.
A look at that. But we've also got this. This is one of the other
look at
styles
that.
We have.
That handle's beautiful.
It's got a nice finger guard. And then we have more... Great. Covert styles.
Yeah, and I've got...
This is bushcrafting.
Yeah, I've got similar...
Yeah, I'm sure you have plenty.
...sizes, but no, that I don't have because I've got an old World War II one that it's on
yours.
The wall. Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like these handles. I'll show you my Green Bray knife on the way out that they issue us. It's a Yarborough, and when you graduate the course, they give it to you. But same kind of inlaid...
All right, yeah, we're going to... I didn't mean to turn this into like an infomercial or anything.
No, I mean, it's all right.
But that one's not... We don't even have that in production yet, but we're going to produce that next year. But
I might have to get you to sign it with a Sharpie.
Open it up. Take it out. Check it out. It's really something.
Oh, man.
I've been wanting to get you...
You know what? I'm going to have to start throwing this thing and get it balanced. Whoa. Yeah, this is a good pry tool as well.
Absolutely.
That right there. You can tell by the thickness.
And look what you can do with the other end. I mean, talk about breaking stuff. G10 handle, the whole deal. Anyway. Yeah, so.
I came from the Indian Nation. This fits right in my hand.
That's perfect. I love it. I love that in your hands better than just sitting here in the studio. So, yeah.
Well, you know, and this will go on my kit. I'll actually put this on my ruck because it's nice to have a tool to either...
Oh, yeah. And it won't rust. You know how it is in Texas when you leave your tools
especially down there.
And there's just too much humidity in the air and everything rusts.
Oxidizes and rusts, yeah.
Yeah, but that won't rust.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, and this is a Dawson as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually John Roy's design.
I think my team guys are going to be upset.
Yeah.
Upset, jealous.
We're going to have to get more?
They're going to be just, oh, yeah, okay. We'll outfit them.
Well, that's what we'll do. We'll get more for you next year.
We actually get issued these, not this nice, it's just basic issue, but, and they're just a plain wooden handle.
Yeah.
But sometimes they break.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause we go to the lowest common denominator, company charging the most money for that hammer or for the hatchet.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, this, you can chop it in, stand on it, bounce on it. It's not going to break. These things flex.
Yeah, like crazy. That's nice. Nice stuff.
All right. So how can people help support you, by the way?
You know, there is a support doc thing there. It's a give, send, go. When we set it up, we thought, well, we don't know. It was just me actually. And Ann Vander still happened to be over at our think tank. And she said, let's set this up and it'll help you out. And it did.
Yeah.
And good. That gave us the seed money that we needed to get started. Instead of pulling money out of our savings, but
here it is, support doc. Okay,
yeah, support
and
doc.
Click that, and then it goes to
and then it takes you there.
Saying go,
right.
Got it.
Right, and so my intent with this is here's a funny story. I got to tell you a funny one about this. All right, so supposedly there's a meaning to the number 17, which I didn't know.
Oh yeah,
right.
Q.
I didn't know because you know my whole military career. I'm like, well, if there was a Q, I would have been involved, right?
Yeah.
I'm a good guy, even though I do wear a black hat. So when this started, the numbers were coming in, donations, and they were either 17 or 45, right?
Yeah, Trump or
so,
Q. Yeah.
Right. So I'm sitting there, and we got all these smart guys in the think tank, and we're like, why is it 17? Did they take $3 out of a 20? No.
It's all
the
Q.
One of the dumbest guys in the room goes, no, Doc, that's Q. I'm like, oh, never mind. You're smarter than us. So
funny.
Anyway, I started looking into it because, you know, when you look at life, you know, 39 years of wearing a uniform, and all you're doing is looking at a mission through a straw. And you got to do that mission.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all you do. And you don't pay attention to what's going on back home and all these things. And then I come back from Africa on a mission, and COVID kicks off. And there I am back in this crazy world that, you know, changed. And so, 17. So that was it. So because of that number,
I'm going to show you something to blow your mind.
Okay. Because that number, our first camp on the border, we're calling it Camp 17.
Ah.
Right? Because for those people that gave $17.
Right.
You know, it's like a lot of people did that for us to make, you know, a good bit of money.
Yeah.
That tells me we the people, number one.
Right.
And it tells me these Q people can't be that bad. And I never thought they were, but
right?
They care, right? And so to me, they get Camp 17. Then we'll have Camp 17 Alpha, Camp 17 Bravo, Charlie, all the way down the border.
And 1776 probably.
Too. Yeah, right. I think we're at about 1775 right now, but that's where I think we're at.
Yeah, probably right.
Yeah.
All right, I want to show you something. Actually, you can see it up there if you guys put it on the screen. Amazon just released a new AI agent called Amazon Q. And This was just announced 2 days ago. Mm. And what Amazon Q does, it is an AI agent that...
Oh my gosh.
First of all, you give it all your passwords to everything, email, Slack, Salesforce, right? And then you can give it instructions of things to do, like business flow instructions, like, you know, go out and research these prices, build a chart, zip the file, upload it to Dropbox, send this email, compose this letter. And it's called Q because... Q level clearance, as you know, means access to all the secrets. Well, this agent accesses all of your secrets.
And I was
secrets.
Just going to say, that is an agent.
It's an actual agent.
It's an agent.
And you pay for it.
Yeah.
You pay $25 a month for Amazon Q to know all your secrets.
And a lot of people paid to go get booster shots.
They did.
Right?
They did.
So you're paying for your own demise.
And Amazon AWS, of course, is funded by the CIA.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean...
That's pretty amazing.
It's not hard to connect these dots.
Yeah, so now when you see this stuff, it stands right out.
Yeah.
And so that gives me a little bit of hope because when I'm out, I've been everywhere from South Florida now to, you know, the Redwood Forest. As this has gone on, more and more people are waking up.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I truly believe that we're going to be okay. I don't think it's going to get easier before it gets harder.
Right.
And that's going to call out a lot of people, hopefully not terminally, but it's going to get harder.
I agree with you.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm a glasses half full guy.
Oh, I think we have an incredibly bright future once we get through this.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I think we're going to call out those at the top, and that may be happening now.
This is like freedom training, actually, if you think about it. It's like you go in the gym and train in the gym to gain strength. Right now, because of all the oppression, you're getting like freedom training.
There's that. And there's also a certain sense of discernment that you learn through this. Like you can talk to somebody for about 10 minutes and go, nah, idiot.
Clueless.
They're going to get lost. They're going to be, just destroyed in this.
Yep.
But you find the people that truly are real people that do care about others. And I'm not talking about just America, even though that's what I'm about, just Texas and America, but the world. I'm talking about humanity.
Yes.
You know, this is a worldwide fight.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're smack dab and not even, we're past the middle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about Texas and how Texas is going to do during this? Because my assessment, I mean, I think Texas is very well positioned. I'll just say that up front. Yep. And the spirit of Texas counts for a lot. But not only that, I mean, we have ocean ports. Texas is like one of the largest economies in the world if it were considered a country.
It was between 7th and 12th, I've heard, somewhere near.
Yeah, it's wild. Mm-hmm. Texas has manufacturing, technology, agriculture, fossil fuels. Yeah, its own power grid. And telecom, innovation. People that want to do amazing things right now in business, mm-hmm. they come to Texas.
Yeah.
Like Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Tesla's right down the road here, man. The whole freaking Tesla spaceport or whatever they're building over there.
And we want that.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And so Texas is what I call the first domino of the flyover states, right? If Texas were to fall, the rest of it could potentially go a lot easier. But Texas will not fall because of that spirit.
That's right.
And because of, I'm out there talking to folks and I have outrun my headlights, so to speak, in this, as far as getting help.
Yeah.
More help than I need. I don't have the infrastructure yet to support all of that yet.
Yeah.
But it's coming. And it's just like the Alamo when people from Tennessee showed up and all over. Now the Alamo didn't end up so well, but but the outcome overall was a republic at that point.
Right.
And I see that now. I see people from Florida contacting me and saying, how can we help? We're going to send some guys out to volunteer to help sit on the border and to see. I can't run operations on the border. I can't. But I can teach people how to take care of themselves and their property and their livestock and their fences. And I can send guys out, medics, to take care of those poor, unfortunate people that the coyotes are leading through these hot places down Presidio. Now it's cooling off now, but just leaving them behind to die. We find bodies all the time.
Yeah.
There's nothing humanitarian about this humanitarian crisis.
Right.
From our side, from our response side. So that's the things I can do, right?
Right. But do you feel optimistic about Texas being able to survive this? Even if the dollar collapses and the federal government is nullified for a while, in chaos, seems to me like Texas has the resources to be able to. We could do our own thing for as long as
necessary. We could have our own gold repository and we could support ourselves. We could have our own petro dollar, so to speak.
Exactly.
Texas.
Like a new Texas dollar backed by oil.
Backed by oil.
Absolutely. I would use that.
Heck yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want energy,
Right?
Right.
Or
gold.
Yeah. So I talk about it and I say, look, Texas was a republic once. And it may very well be again.
Maybe again.
Because if this thing squashes, this thing that's, I call it the Corporation of the United States, if that squashes, there's got to be a phoenix to come out of this. And the people that I know are resilient.
Yeah.
And that will do it. These communities, I speak to 5 different communities now, and I don't lead anybody because they lead themselves. These are citizens.
Yeah.
Neighborhood watch programs on steroids. What I call it.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, tonight in Drip, we got a meeting there and they're going to be talking about canning. Okay. So they last year when we had the minor ice storm, that group went into high speed, moving generators around, cutting trees. See it, right?
Yep.
I grew up in a town, 3,000
people.
That's what we did.
Yes.
And a tornado hit. But this is watching it with people from all walks of life, backgrounds in Texas, learning how to be Texans.
Yep.
And watching it happen.
Now, on that point, in fact, I want to mention something. I'm pretty sure you'll agree with me, but it's okay if you don't. But I know a lot of Latino Texans mm-hmm. who are hardcore, all on board with everything that you and I are saying. Mm-hmm. Cowboy, Latino guys yeah. who they live the Texas spirit. They're Americans and they're Texans right. and they have their Latino culture. Mm-hmm. And I love these guys.
Oh, yeah.
I would serve right along beside them. I would help them out just like anybody else. And we need to distinguish between, you know, illegal immigrants and cartels.
Oh, absolutely. And that's a good point. I got a great story for you on that, a real short one. About my second, third month into the border when I was in uniform and working down in McAllen and in the town of Roma. And so it's right there across from Miguel Alemán, one of the highly contested cartel fights between CDN and Nuevo Generation. But these people are coming across at night, and sometimes they're wounded. Sometimes they're dying of heat. Sometimes they're doing whatever. So me as a doc, even though I wore a hat of a green beret, I was still a doctor, I would help people. And so you'd be on the ground, you'd be helping these folks. And of course, my National Guard guys are mostly Hispanic Americans. They're from Texas, right? And they live in the McAllen area. So a lot of culture there. And I had this Sergeant First Class. And we got back to the base. He said, Doc, I see how you take care of those people coming across. You're really good to them. I said, okay, well, I appreciate that. I like people. And he said, when I was 3 years old, I came across that border.
No kidding.
Now, here's a Sergeant First Class, 20-something years in, Purple Heart, Bronze Star, served our country in several wars. He came across that border illegally, right?
Uh-huh.
By the letter of the law.
Uh-huh, right.
That doesn't make him lesser of a citizen. I use the term illegal aliens because that's what the way I grew up in. That's what it was called.
Yep.
But there's no demeaning of that because I see these people face-to-face. Two little girls that we took off the border from some people that were trafficking them, 7-8-year-old sisters from Guatemala.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, your heart breaks. They're humans. Right. So, but that's an example of somebody that is just as American as you or I, who came across there illegally without papers.
Yeah.
So we love them. Look, I call my cowboy brothers down there in Eagle Pass area, the Cristeros. You know, that's based upon back in the days of Pancho Villa, they were Christian writers who fought against the government of Mexico, who was trying to squash the church.
No kidding.
Right? They were called the Cristeros.
Wow.
Well, this group exists now down in South Texas as a bunch of cowboys that are concerned about what's going on the border.
Right, right.
Right.
And I'm really glad to hear that story because it's so important to make this distinction. You know, there are narco cartels that are doing horrible things, human trafficking, weapons trafficking, child trafficking.
Right.
And but frankly, there's a whole lot of human trafficking domestically in the United States by U.S. people as well, or in Israel for that matter.
And there wouldn't be if there wasn't a need
in Europe,
for it, a demand for it. There wouldn't be in the
United States. Exactly, exactly. So what if I could say this, I think what you and I stand for, or let's say we stand against evil for sure. We stand for humanity.
Right.
We do stand for the rule of law. We want people to follow the law and to go through the process.
Right.
We want to invite immigrants based on merit and background checks and, you know, all the things that matter. But overall, we are pro-humanity. We want to help people be free and be prosperous.
I would gladly put a revolving door on the border and bring across people with merit and load up some of these legislators that don't have merit and send them back south.
Yeah. I'd love to make that bargain too. Yeah. we could make a list.
I mean, they broke my heart up there.
We'll trade. We'll do a barter. Yeah.
Yeah. Send them south. I mean, just send them on out.
Or for all those people that hate the Constitution. Yeah. Guess what? You go somewhere else if you want. I mean, if you hate it.
I mean,
so
but you're right. The merit is there. I see them. These families that are second, third generation on the border. Wonderful people.
Yeah.
They have a culture. You know, if you're a Polish American from Chicago, you have a culture.
Right.
You're American, right? That's Irish right. from New York. I mean, you're still an American. And so they are as much or more, and especially right now, because some of these people, I know this for a fact. I've heard the stories. They are being used as pawns. They were collected up to move forward, to bring in NGOs, moving them forward,
You're talking about the illegals.
The illegals.
That are being pushed.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. They're given maps. They're given coordinates. They're told,
WhatsApp
go here.
WhatsApp is got all kinds of channels for people in different ways that they can go and where to go and who to contact and how to get there, what NGO is going to pay for them.
And that's the invasion. That's a
full-blown
invasion of the United States.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Yeah,
it's an invasion, and I talk to guys all the way down the border, and I hope that we can take our project here, this Camp 17, and move it all the way to San Diego, but, you know, we just take it one bite at a time.
Wow. How can people actually help you with your projects? I mean, we talked about donations, yeah, yeah. but are there, can people volunteer in different
yes,
areas?
Yes, yes. And so we're really picky about that because we have to be careful not to bring in the wrong element. Because
absolutely.
Anybody can come in and say, okay, let's go down there and shoot some people.
Like,
we're not doing that. You know, what we want to bring in is assets. We want to bring in calm. We want to lend, we want to control the controllables through decreasing chaos.
Absolutely.
Not increasing. So we've got to be careful.
That's right. That's right.
And I've seen that.
Or being infiltrated.
Or being infiltrated. Yes. Yeah. We've seen that too. So on the website, there's a contact page. You just go, even though it says contact to speak, you just hit that and it goes to my email. And then I say, hey, yeah, and we vet you. And we say, come on down and we'll do this. But like I said before, having done a few shows like this, when that happens, it literally can be thousands of people saying, hey, how do I help you? Well, then I've outrun my headlights.
Yes.
So I got to
yes,
be careful.
Difficult.
Just phase it. We're
yeah.
in phase 0 to 1 right now.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. And I think there's going to be even more interest in what you're doing as the systems that people have lived with and relied on for their entire lives, those systems are crumbling around
right.
us.
Yeah.
People see it even in finance, you know, yeah. Banks are having more mistakes and more outages. Power grids are not as
yeah.
reliable. The money just doesn't work as well. And there's also a lack of capability. And I know you've seen this because, you know, you and your buddies in the Green Berets, you are people who get things done.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, you're not going to sit there and say, we can't do that. We're going to figure out a way to get that done, right?
These are conversations we have every day.
Exactly.
Yes.
But there's a culture in America, mm-hmm. among America's youth, not all of them, but most of them, of can't do anything, don't even want to do anything. I'm just a consumer. Just give me money so I can buy brand stuff, and I can't produce anything.
And that is the effect of what Yuri Bezmenov talked about. Demoralization of our
exactly.
nation. Exactly. It's a demoralization. But those are the ones that I talk to, right? Those kids.
Good.
Right? And I said, you know, my kid's 24. He's going into the Army. He wants to be a Green Beret. Okay, great. He's finished his college and he's going in. But we talk to kids like that to say, when I go to these groups and I go to places where they got kids camps and things like that and try to talk to them about what they can do. So we teach them how to do tourniquet class.
Yeah, cool.
Okay? But it gets their mind right. Like, I'm actually outside learning this thing, this thing that could help.
Right.
You know, and starting a fire. I mean, just basic stuff. But it develops that interest in something other than a box and a TV set.
Or a social media chat.
Or a social media, right.
Log.
That's the demoralization stuff.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. I mean, mm-hmm. we need capable hands on people. This is what made America the world's power from World War II, especially on
frontier spirit.
I mean, how did we win mm-hmm. World War II? It was people who could get things done.
Bunch of kids from farms and ranches.
Absolutely. 19-year-old mm-hmm. United States Marine, yep. weighed 145 pounds, but could carry a full load with the 308. Right. I mean, getting it done.
Yeah. yeah.
And today,
yeah,
you don't see that much.
And that's where we focus. But truly, what we need, the numbers that we need to have kind of come to that side, if you will, are not as much as you think.
Okay.
Because you just need a few active people to say, hey, follow me if you want to live, and they will.
Yeah.
But the same thing can happen on the dark side of this, right?
True.
Follow me and you'll die. They just don't tell them that. You know, follow me and life will be easier. It'll be comfortable. You know, I say this, it was from a movie, Gladiator says, you know, Gladiator asked his aide, you know, you enjoy your life? He said, well, most of the time I do what I have to do. Sometimes I get to do what I want to do. And that's really where I'm at.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's days I don't want to drive 6 hours to Presidio or whatever, you know, the Big Bend. And
yeah.
But if I don't, then the second and third order effects of me not doing something and all my other, it trickles down.
Right.
And as a leader, you're responsible.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
No, I have similar conversations about even what I do. You know, having this platform and having this influence, and
this is
there are days where I don't want to come into the studio, but you do it
because
people depend on what you do.
That's right. Yeah.
And I'm so happy to be able to work with you. I mean, this is a great combination. You're face to face with people, teaching people mm-hmm. skills and attitudes, and then thank you for coming in the studio today so that we can help share this with the world through this platform.
I'd much rather do it this way than a TV screen.
Oh yeah.
Although we could do a Zoom or whatever. And
no, this is much better.
I like
it's,
it. Like
it's always cool when you get to swing by.
Yeah, no,
and
awesome.
I get to see your dog.
And I get cool stuff.
You get cool gifts.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. We have more for you. You have, there's also a whole rack of our Health Ranger store snacks and food products and freeze dried.
Yeah.
And you're welcome to raid that rack.
Well, we,
before you,
you know,
go.
You would be proud to know that we have, we use your buckets actually.
Is that right?
For our standby.
Oh,
we
that's
keep,
nice.
We keep certain stashes along the border if our guys need it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, we call those cachets.
We are about to release, and again, I'm not trying to promote it, but just for your sake,
yeah.
Especially, we're about to release instant meals next year.
Ooh.
First one's going to be macaroni and cheese, all Maurice, organic, yeah. With the macaroni elbows made out of amaranth. Okay. And quinoa, which is high protein.
Which is good. It's
and
not the carbs.
Then it's real organic freeze-dried powdered heavy cream. No
keto,
crap.
Baby. That's keto.
No crap in. I mean, there's no
right.
Like artificial.
Okay.
No.
Well, you,
no
had, me, you had me at hello.
And powdered cheese. I mean, like oh, yeah. Sharp cheddar, yeah. Organic freeze-dried powdered cheese and powdered butter and then onions and pepper and whatever. And it's going to be where you just boil water. You know,
yeah, and that's what we need for traveling because it's
exactly
light.
It's exactly.
You know, the problem with MREs is that they're already wet. I mean, essentially,
right,
you know,
right,
we're
right.
Just heating heat, but they're so heavy, so you can only take a few meals and you end up not getting the amount of calories. Plus, they're not good calories. I hate to say it.
I know
the military didn't go there to the you know the high end either for
no,
us.
And yeah. We're not going to do pre-cooked MREs. We're going to yeah. Do uncooked dried materials that you add water.
That's it. And yep. It's light,
and
you can move.
It's light, mm-hmm. Exactly. So we'll. We will get you some supply of this yeah. For your team.
Throw some in the saddlebags.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. What else you want to cover before we wrap this up today?
You know, I think we covered everything. There wasn't anything that was particular on my mind. I do want to, you know, anybody that has supported, I want to thank you first of all because it's taken us from you know one guy and a horse and a dog to a bunch of guys, and we're going to keep that operationally secure because we don't want to talk about places or names. I'm the only face of this thing now. You know the movie A-Team or the TV show?
Yeah.
Right? So they had one guy, he was the face, and that's my job. I've got to be that.
Yeah.
How
come nobody could shoot straight on the A-Team show?
I know. Yeah.
They never hit anybody.
They should have taken lessons from Antonio.
Nobody ever got shot.
Antonio Banderas, you know, flying across the table, hitting everything. Right?
It's like 1,000 rounds were expended during this episode. Nobody got hit.
Never got hit. It was scary, though. It was very scary. And look.
Someone has run out of patience here.
Yeah.
No, he's good. You can keep going. He's just going to hang out and listen.
But, yeah, so I just want to thank people because that has taken it. And this is going to result in us being here to hold that wall, to stand a post, if you will.
Yeah.
You know,
I know you would
line.
Never let
hold
your dog do this to you, but I've let him be a little more friendly here in the studio.
You know, Joe will do that with me once in a while. He's older now. He's 10.
Yeah.
So we don't mind.
He knows when the show's about to end.
He does.
And he comes up and he wants
he's
to
ready.
Play. So
yeah.
That's what he's doing right now.
Yeah, actually, no, that's good. And like we were saying outside, I was saying, you know, if you learn to bring your life into his life, things will be so much easier, you know, instead of trying to get him to assimilate. I mean, they have to sit at certain times and go, you know, I've taken my dog in the Capitol building, not on January 6th, but you know, in the speaker's office, and then so he's been up there.
No, he's great. They know when they're on duty.
Oh yeah,
right. I put the vest on him.
Right.
And you know, I've got the collar on him right now. I take him into, you know, shopping or whatever. He's cool.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing his thing.
If we got time for another story, this is a good one.
Yeah,
I'm standing on the border at McAllen at the Rio Grande, looking 400 meters across at what we call the Mike side, which is Mexico. I've got a congressional delegation behind me, 6 congresspeople from all over the country, Republican congressional delegation. And they're there to do their typical, you know, let's take pictures and we can tell everybody we went to the border story.
Right, right.
So I'm in full body armor. I've got my weapon system. I'm looking south to where the cartel could possibly be. This knucklehead congressman comes up behind me, this tall guy. His name is Katko. I can go ahead and talk about it because he's not going to run again. And it didn't matter if he did, from New York. And by the way, he was one of the 11 to vote to impeach Trump. So I knew that's why Joe didn't like him because I'm standing there. Now imagine this, M4, looking in Mexico, night vision, dog on a leash on the front of me. He's sitting there looking too. Guy comes up and goes, hey, puppy. And he comes over and Joe literally turns me around. And now I'm face to face with this 6'3", you know, congressman who's a knucklehead. And Joe at the end of his leash jumping up. And on my website, you can see it. If you look at the media page, there's a picture of me talking to these congresspeople. And I was like, sir, you got to be careful with that. He goes, I'm a sitting U.S. congressman.
Hey,
I said, explain
Joe doesn't
that to
know
the dog.
That. Yeah.
I said, he's working right now.
Exactly.
I mean, but if that tells you something about the mentality of some of these people.
I know. It's incredible.
Right?
Now, did you leash them to your belt?
Yeah, you have a little thing, and you can quick release.
That's what it's I do too.
A little red tab you pull, and a quick release if I have to.
I don't have a quick release.
Yeah, you just take. We use the same thing when we're strapped into a chopper. Yeah. It has a red tab. You pull it, and it just opens up the little pin.
Oh,
and
great. That way I'm going to have to get that.
Yeah, I'll show you what it looks like.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
See, we're upgrading each other's gear today.
It's just for a quick release. You're that's out, awesome. And you need to send him. That's the firm missile.
But I find, I strap them. I leash them right to my rigger's belt here.
Yeah, don't ever put them on your loops because it'll tear your belt.
No, loose. Not the loops, but where you're supposed to.
On that, you can do it there, or you can actually get one that's right on the side because I like him over here. He knows to stay on my left side because I've got my weapon system
true.
Over here.
Exactly.
So he's always doing that. And then the other thing is when you're carrying a weapon, you want them, when they stop, their body's got to be touching your leg.
Yeah. Right? You don't want them out in front of your barrel.
And you don't want to be looking down
that's right.
when you're supposed to be up here.
That's
so
right.
I say the word, and he gets up next to me and locks in.
He's really good about that, too. Yeah. He'll back up. Yeah. He's not... What you're seeing today is his like playtime behavior. It's not.
Yeah. Well, Joe's, believe me.
Yeah.
The guy that I work with in the shop, he's a colonel, retired colonel as well. Phil Waldron, great guy.
Oh, I know Waldron. Yeah. We've interviewed.
So Phil, you know, we call him Uncle Phil because he ruins Joe. He's like, come here, Joe.
Right.
Let's play. And I'm like, he's like a crazy uncle that just ruins your kids.
Yeah.
So it's okay. You know,
it's awesome.
The dog does it. He's 10. He's earned it. So yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. Well, I got to say, it's just an honor to have you here in studio.
Oh, yeah.
I want to thank you
great
for taking
here.
The time with us today, for making the drive and being here. And you are welcome here at any time.
Same thing. Need something from us, just holler.
Well, we're gonna get you some supplies coming up, some more of our new food.
Okay.
You got the tomahawk. Cool. I'll see what else I can wrangle up for you and your team. I know you'll get stuff distributed as well. And we're going to give you some items. You have your truck here, so you can handle a few things. So, and I want to say hi to Joe before we go, if that's
okay.
All right.
We'll go out and say hi to
He's
Joe.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Cool.
I'd love to see you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah. All right.
It's an honor, sir.
Hey, honor's mine.
Thanks for being here
Great
today.
To be here. Yeah.
All right. The website, folks, is drpetechambers.com. That's DR for doctor. Drpetechambers.com. Check out everything he's got going on there and consider supporting him at the support doc link here on the upper right, which will take you to this donation page. And Doc, you're doing amazing work for America and for Texas. It makes me really, really happy to be a Texan and to know that you're a fellow Texan. I'm just so thrilled to know that you're here.
That's what we do, right?
That's amazing. That's you. You're one of the people that gives me faith in the future of Texas.
Feeling's mutual. Yeah, I see it across town here.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, be safe and we'll talk again soon.
Roger that.
All right, take care. All right, everybody, thanks for watching today. Of course, you can repost this interview on other platforms if you'd like and other channels. Feel free to do so. And please support this platform, Brightown.com, where free speech is welcomed, not censored. And I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brightown, and thank you for watching today. God bless you all. God bless America. God bless Texas, especially. All right.
Yeah.
Take care, everybody. I'm happy to announce we have our laundry detergent back in stock at HealthRangerStore.com. Got it up on my laptop here to show you. Now, you may wonder, like, what's so special about laundry detergent? Well, and we sell it as a pair here, these two, I think it's 5-pound boxes. Yeah, 2 5-pound boxes together. Well, check this out. We are meticulous about the ingredients. This has zero abrasives, no lye, no phosphates, no bleach, no dyes, no perfume. Most people's laundry detergent is a toxic stew of garbage. But if you look at our ingredients here, you can go through these ingredients and you can meticulously research these ingredients, as we have done, and you can find out that they're incredibly safe for the environment, safe for you and your skin, and also very effective at cleaning your laundry. You know, a lot of people's laundry detergent is just filled with fragrance chemicals that make their clothes smell better, but it's toxic. You know, all those perfumes, when you perspire, the wetness soaks into your clothes that are soaked in the toxins in the laundry detergent. And then your skin can absorb those toxins, which in many cases with many other products are cancer-causing toxins. That's why we say no synthetic fragrances whatsoever. We want you to be clean, but we also want you to be cancer-free, right? I mean, we don't want to have a product that contributes to your cancer. And so we're very meticulous about the ingredients. This is the laundry detergent that I use, and you know how sensitive I am to artificial fragrance and fabric softeners and all that garbage, which I think is just, you know, poison for consumers, typically what's sold at the main stores out there, you know, the big box stores and so on. If you want to clean up your life, clean up your health habits, it's not enough to just have clean food and clean water. You also need to stop poisoning your laundry. And that means get our laundry detergent, healthrangerstore.com. It's back in stock now. It's been over 6 months since we even had this in stock, and this is not going to last very long because so many people have been waiting for it. It's difficult for us to get this formulation manufactured and made for us and then delivered to us. And I don't know how long, you know, this is going to last. Get some now while you can. We also have, by the way, automatic dishwasher detergent. We have body soap. We have many other home and personal care products at healthrangerstore.com. And in addition to supporting our platform and our message with your purchase, you're also supporting your own health. You're detoxifying your body. You're going to live a cleaner, healthier, longer life because of avoiding exposure to the toxins that are associated with all kinds of horrible things that happen to people. So clean up your laundry. Get the poison out of your clothing, out of your socks, out of your underwear. And this is how you can do it. Laundry detergent, healthrangerstore.com. We formulated it. It's manufactured for us. Finally have it back in stock while supplies last. And then it'll probably be gone for 6 more months. So check it out right now, today, healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support.